Dodge in my uncle hand. Always trouble, man. I always in trouble, man. Worth a couple hundred grand. Chevy's out covers, man.
Welcome in, everybody. You're listening to Hot in the Igloo right here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Well, you guys, this is our first show. Forrest Hunt, Ethan Estrada, Soren O'Connell, and, well, we're on Hot in the Igloo. This is the second semester of Hot in the Igloo for myself. First semester of Hot in the Igloo for you guys. Are you guys, first of all, are you guys excited?
Oh, well, it's an honor to be here. I couldn't be more excited.
I think if you're on Hot in the Igloo, it means you made it somewhere. So it makes me feel better.
I think so. I mean, we tried to establish Hot in the Igloo last semester as really the premier sports show for Dominican sports. And so we're going to be bringing you Dominican sports this semester, but we've also incorporated a little bit of professional sports, Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA when we get there, soccer when we have the one of our other partners, Ken Goldstone, when he's in on the air with us, and when we have a little more time for the soccer segment. But we're going to start with introductions, and just to let you guys know at home know who we are, and we're going to start right over here to my left, though you at home you can't see, but to my left is Ethan Estrada.
See, I'm Ethan Estrada. I am a play-by-play voice here at Dominican, and I basically call every single sport. My main sport so far this year has been soccer, and I've been really enjoying it thus far.
And my name is Soren O'Connell. I'm a recent transfer student to Dominican University. I've called 3 soccer games so far, and I'm looking to do much more.
Yeah, soccer fans definitely know who you guys are, that's for sure. You guys do a terrific job yourself, Soren and Ken Goldstone. You guys have done it. Ethan, you've done a lot. So I'm Forrest Hunt. You might have, if you've listened to games previous years, you may have heard me, but as well as Ethan, do all the sports here. Volleyball, soccer, softball, basketball, you name it. Anything that we call, I'm there in some form, I guess, whether it's spirit or behind the microphone. But so today for you guys, we're going to talk about DU soccer, men's and women's, which you guys, somebody has been at every single home soccer game. We're going to talk a little bit about volleyball, even though volleyball hasn't been home in a while. They will be home this weekend, don't worry. And then we're also going to talk about the new soccer coach, specifically our men's soccer coach. We're going to talk a little bit of baseball, talk a little bit of NFL, talk some college football. So that's what's on the ledger for today. Also, pretty exciting, we already have a guest for next week. I'm not going to spoil who it is, but week 2, we will have a guest here on Hot in the Igloo. We're preparing coach interviews, player interviews, that kind of thing. I know this is new. Soren, I can see the look on your face, and I just want to know what's going through your head right now.
Oh, well, I mean, it's really so hot in the igloo right now. I'm afraid it might melt.
I think it's 88 degrees here in San Rafael. Can you believe that? It hasn't been this warm in a while.
I'm loving it. I got this shirt with the little few holes okay. in it and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling real nice.
Ethan, per usual, is wearing a sweatshirt.
Yeah, I came from a very hot place in Central California.
The middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I came from the middle of nowhere to come here to the Bay because I thought it was going to be beautiful weather all the time. Yeah. And I'm like, it's just hot. I could just stay at home and it could be hot.
Hot seems to be the theme. Hot in the igloo. It's hot in the radio station. It's hot in San Rafael. We're going to start with men's soccer. The men to start the year 3-2-1 overall. They're 2-1-1 at home. And first, let's talk about that win over Pacific Union College. It was a historic win, 8-0, and it was really a one-man show.
Yeah, and Wilson Briggs has kind of been a one-man show for this team so far, despite the fact that he hasn't really had a ton of goals outside of this one game. I think it's a really positive start for him, and I'd like to see a few more individuals get involved in the offense.
And I was actually on the call for that game, and it was so much fun to watch him play. He was so fast, and he outpaced all of the Union Pacific back line that it was easy for him. He chipped over 4 goals in 12 minutes, which is completely unheard of. And then, of course, if it wasn't for him being substituted out, I'm sure he probably would have had 6 or 7 by the end of that game.
8-0 win, historic win, biggest win, I believe most goals scored in Division II history, and first player with 4 goals in a game, Wilson Briggs. And we've seen him develop a little bit from that game, a tight 2-1 game against UC Santa Cruz. And you guys were there for that one as well.
Yes, yes. The game against Santa Cruz, It was kind of a cagey game. I mean, there were a lot of fouls in that game. The UCSC players weren't happy with the ref. There were some, the wind was whipping around. It went from really warm at the start of the game to freezing cold and like a hurricane almost at the end. And it was a hurricane in terms of the players' attitudes at the end as well.
And what made that game so enjoyable to watch and call was how physical both sides were. It got very chippy, especially at the end. After UCSC was denied a goal, the equalizer, as time hit triple zeros, got into a little bit of a scrum right when the ref, center ref, blew his final whistle.
Well, we saw UCSC score in that 88th minute, and you guys were talking about how physical of a game it was, and just the back and forth. The Penguins led that game 2-0 for quite some time, and then the tempers flared at the end, and you guys saw a significant amount of cards in that game, if I'm not mistaken.
I can't remember exactly how many there were, but definitely more than you'd like to see. If you're the Penguins, though, I did take note, as I was saying in the broadcast of the game, that the more fouls that there have been in games, the better the Penguins have done. The game against UCSC, I believe there were 19 fouls. And then the second two highest were their other two wins against Humboldt State, and I can't remember the other one, Pacific Union, obviously. And both of those had 12 fouls in them. All other games are below that.
Now, that's interesting to me. Why do you think that is? I mean, you've been out there for a majority of the soccer games now that we've had this season at home, and is that just a little bit of slowing the pace down and letting them catch their breath and maybe set up their offense or set up their defense? Or what do you think, from what you've seen, the correlation is between more penalties and just winning more soccer games?
Well, I think one thing to note is kind of almost how hockey-like this kind of mentality is. How, you know, when there's a fight in hockey, a lot of times the losing team, if the player from the losing team wins the fight, it can really energize the bench. And I think this kind of consistent fouling that they've been getting themselves into, while it isn't necessarily good to go into the ref's book, it has been energizing the players.
And then kind of going off what Soren was talking about, I don't mean to jump the gun completely, but in that 2-2 draw to Concordia on Sunday, Concordia took the physicality out of the game. It was very, like, Dominican was trying to find a way to set their tone, and I think that's what the physicality gives them. That gives them a tone to play with. And Concordia took it completely out of the game, and Dominican was lost. They still came back from a 2-0 deficit to tie the game, but they were kind of reaching at times in that game.
And yeah, and I think another thing about that game was just that they weren't quite as focused as they were in the first half against UCSC. The first goal, I think, was a minute and 15 seconds in, and the Dominican had controlled the ball the entire first minute and 15 seconds. And then as soon as they give the ball away, bam, goal. So I think they just weren't really comfortable with not having the ball. Then the ball just ends up in the back of the net when you're not paying attention.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that. You brought up the 2-2 draw to Concordia. That was just a few days ago, just this last weekend. And they were down 2-0 at one point. And like you said, Soren, 1-0 in the first minute 15. And, you know, if you want to break down that minute 15, you'd probably say that the Penguins had possession for minute 5.
Absolutely, if not minute 10, minute 11.
I mean, they gave up the ball in their defensive half of the field. It seemed like right when Concordia touched it, the ball was in the back of the net. And then they scored. They were up 2-0 at the half. So just, like you said, taking the physical component out of the game, do you think that's something that maybe new coach, first-year head coach for the Penguins, David Frank, is going to have to take into consideration?
Definitely, but I think one thing that his opposite coach took into consideration was that very same physicality. The coach of Concordia, Oregon, Dave Berkey, I believe, it's his 34th season coaching them. He's had multiple coaching trials under Harry Redknapp and David Moyes. He's a very, very experienced coach. He has lots of certifications. And I think he likely saw that this kind of physicality was the way that the Penguins were going to approach this game. And so I think that was likely part of his game plan.
Oh, totally. You could see that from the get-go. Dominican wasn't nearly as physical, and it all starts with Gumby in the center. He's the physical tone setter for the Penguins, and it felt like he was completely taken out of that game.
So we enter conference play. Everything so far has been non-conference to open the season, all 6 games. The women opened conference play against Holy Names. We'll get to that. But as we enter conference play, besides the physicality, is the key, in your guys' opinions, going to have to be really controlling the ball? Because it seems like we saw in the beginning of that Concordia game, Concordia Oregon, I might add, they controlled the ball well, and then when they didn't, all of a sudden it was quick goals.
Yeah, I think one thing that is going to be really important is to give Gunby some kind, and may I say it is G-U-N-B-Y, not G-U-M-B-Y, Colin Gunby. I think supporting him will be really important because I've noticed it a lot in a lot of the games. He's really the only one. He's all by himself, and the Penguins have really been kind of trying to play out towards the wings, maybe get the ball to Briggs, let him run with it, and Gunby has been largely a defensive presence. So I'm looking for them to support him a little bit more so he can retain possession for the team.
And yeah, and I think that agreeing with Soren here is that Briggs and Raley have been fantastic all season long. They're coming to be the superstars of the team. But Colin Gunby in that center is the tone setter. You don't want to burn him out. You need to give him some help. And I think that right there will help Dominican flourish and grow coming into conference play.
So you say Luke Raley, and that's a name that we haven't discussed yet on the show and a name that we've said a few times on the broadcast, but his play, I think, in my opinion, just I've been on the air with you guys a couple of times, haven't done any play-by-play yet. Saturday will be the first day for me, so it's been good, nice to be able to listen to you guys who know hand over fist more about soccer than I ever will. That's a fact. And Luke Raley is a name that we haven't called very often. I mean, it's obviously due to the fast start for Wilson Briggs. But just for people that haven't heard the name Luke Raley, what does he bring to this team, in your opinion? I mean, he's almost a carbon copy of Wilson Briggs on the other side offensively.
Yeah, he follows up Briggs in a kind of a attacking midfield kind of presence. His goal against Santa Cruz was not necessarily a classic striker's goal. It was he started on the left side of the box, cut a few times, and really just almost like a FIFA-like goal where you're just running across the top of the box and just rip one into the top corner. It was a pleasure to watch, and that being said, I think his midfield play is really important to the team, and being an outlet for Wilson Briggs, maybe not necessarily being his number two for the entire season. We'll have to see how things develop, but I think it's been a great start for him.
And I think where Raley comes into play for Dominican on the attack is he kind of orchestrates the attack. He kind of feels things out. He's the one who makes the key passes in key situations to get them that scoring opportunity.
Is it fair to say that he kind of sneaks under the radar when you're an opposing team, maybe watching film or doing some sort of scouting report, and that all of your focus for when you look at the Penguins squad as far as attackers go, all the focus goes to Wilson Briggs and Luke Raley may be that one that just slips under the doormat?
Yeah, I think Raley especially slips under the doormat because the two big names that we've talked about already on the show and that I find myself saying over and over again at the games are Gunby and Briggs. And Raley's really the middleman between them. So when you look at the numbers, obviously the big forward and the big center midfielder are the ones who are going to be getting on the stat sheet more. But yeah, Luke Raley's equally as important as both of them, in my opinion.
Let's talk about the defense. It seems like there's a lot of Henderson to Albert to Henderson to Case.
Absolutely.
To Henderson, yeah. To Silverbush. Those guys really do a great job in that back line.
Yeah, and Matt Albert is I believe he's the team minutes leader for this season. He's played all but like 30 minutes. He was subbed out at the very last part of two different games. And he's been good. I wouldn't say he's been as fantastic as Briggs has been. I saw a few errant passes from him in the game against Concordia, and obviously it was him who got beat in that very first sequence of plays to lead up to that first Concordia goal. So I'm, you know, looking for him to sharpen it up a little bit. But all this being said, I mean, 3-2-1 going into conference play, can't be mad about that.
Oh yeah, the back line's playing extremely solid. Case, Henderson, Albert, Herrera when he's in there. You have two captains on the back line, which is very important. And what I want to see more from them is a little bit more aggression, especially when they have possession of the ball. They play around with it a lot more than what they do try to push the ball forward.
Yeah, I think one thing that I think Dave Frank would definitely agree with you on that comment, and I think Tanner Herrera is, his inclusion in right back has been a big piece of trying to get the aggression from the wing backs going up, because I noticed on the website Herrera is actually listed as a forward. So to see him being played back like that, it's really a sign that they're looking to get more wing play out of their outside backs.
Just a reminder, you're listening to Hot in the Igloo live at 5 p.m. on every Thursday right here at Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Forrest Hunt, Soren O'Connell, Ethan Estrada with you this afternoon. Paul Gunnis and Ken Goldstone, also a part of the team. They could not be here today. And we're talking men's soccer and lastly, goalie play. William Finney.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with this guy other than the Concordia game. But the first goal obviously wasn't his fault. That was just, you know, he got beat one-on-one. But the second one, he had kind of a shanked left-footed clearance, and it didn't quite go far enough, and it didn't immediately end up resulting in a goal, but it definitely gave Concordia Oregon possession really far up the field, which quickly developed into a goal-scoring opportunity. It was cleared again kind of weakly, but the thing is, all of this stemmed from his weak left-footed clearance, and so it was 2-0 pretty early on. So you're going to want to clean that up. I think I heard from Lily Dubuck from the women's team that the reason that Ruben Regoza is not starting is because he had similar errors. And so if you're Dave Frank, it's kind of like, which one of you is really going to boot the ball out of there, you know? And I think he's the man for the task, though. He's a senior, 6'4", 210 pounds, from a local high school. I believe he came up in Larkspur, Redwood High School. So, I'm always excited to see him on the field.
And you're talking about Regoza's errors. I think he had much more errors than what Finney has had so far. Finney's only had one outstanding error so far that led to a goal for the opponent. But other than that, he's been really solid in the net.
Yeah, and he's a big guy. I mean, at the end of the day, he has 10-inch. I think Regoza's 5'6", Finney's 6'4". That's as much as I don't want to, you know, knock short people trying to play goal. That's 10 inches, man. You know, that's nothing to just go unnoticed.
Lastly, for men's soccer, let's talk about David Frank. He was at Academy of Art, at UC Santa Cruz. He played at UC Santa Cruz, played for the San Jose Frogs, and played MLS for the Houston Dynamo and the San Jose Earthquakes. Just that wealth of experience for David Frank and what he's been able to do with this team so far. 3-2-1, a pretty good start.
I'd say so. If one thing that kind of worries me, though, is I was looking at last season's schedule, and of course Dominican ended in 13th of 14.
They've already won 3 of the 4 total wins that they had last year, so
yeah. I mean, but the thing is, around this time last year, they were in a slightly similar space. They did win a good amount of their non-conference games. I think they had one win in conference last year. I believe they were 1-9-3. That would be 13. So yeah, they were 1-9-3. So really, I don't want to say anything yet. I don't want to try to expect too much or too little. I think we're going to have to see. I mean, I think this first opening day is going to be really important. The Academy of Art being an opponent that Dominican has been able to handle. Going to see if they can do that again.
And what I like about Coach David Frank so far is that I think he's the one who actually implemented a lot of this energy, a lot of that physicality. And you get a lot more effort when you have a coach who's kind of that been there, done that kind of quality. He's played college soccer. He's played Major League Soccer. A lot of these guys would aspire to do things like that, so you get a lot more drive out of them.
I've heard you guys talk about this on the broadcast when you're calling the games, the call from David Frank and then the response from his players.
I think he's been getting really good responses out of his players. Running up and down the touchline, he's very vocal. And I think when he has done that, the players have responded really well. I think what I was saying earlier about how he's been galvanizing them to really commit, you know, not necessarily commit more fouls, but just be more physical in the first place, reflects itself in the stat line.
Oh, yeah. You could see all of a sudden when he yells at a player to do something, they do it automatically. They listen. They know who's in charge, who is their leader. I mean, you have your on-field leaders, but in the end, it all comes down to the coach and how well you listen to him and understand his philosophies and if you can implement them and put them into play.
Definitely, especially important coming from a first-year coach. I talk about the San Jose Earthquakes. I don't know if you guys, how closely you follow MLS, but the San Jose Earthquakes just fired their first-year coach who was clearly not getting to the players at all, and they, as a result, are, I think, last place by about 4 points in Major League Soccer. So, you know, I'm all for the successful first-year coaches.
Men's soccer, 3-2-1 to start the year. Another game coming up on Saturday. We'll be there, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Now we'll go on to women's soccer, the women 2-3-1, so the records look fairly similar. 1-1 at home. They're on a 2-game win streak right now. Okay, they tied their first game of the season against Sonoma State. Lost 3 in a row. That included their home opener. We were there for that one. And then they shut out UC Santa Cruz 2-0. And then won their first home game on Tuesday. They shut out Holy Names 3-0 in the conference opener. And they really spread the love across the whole team when it comes to scoring goals.
Yeah, and they've as you said, they're getting contributions from really all corners. Michelle Lee and Lily Dubuck being the main two. But Claire Brown, Kira Deji's been good too, coming up the I think she was playing right back last game. I mean, they've had a really good start, and when I look at their schedule, the only loss that stands out as a solid loss to me was the one to Chico State. I think they lost that one 3-1. That one was the only game where I felt like, yeah, they deserved to lose that one. The tie to Sonoma State, the one goal that Sonoma State did have in that game was just a chip pass that unfortunately Alyssa Ramos couldn't hang on to. But that's, you know, that's just growing pains. It's getting ready for the season to get started. And I don't think she'll be making errors like that anytime soon again.
And honestly, looking at the difference, because I was there for the second half of the Holy Names game. I didn't do any of the calls because I was recovering from the men's game on Sunday. And looking at the Chico State game, they could not possess the ball for more than 2 touches. That was the big problem. They were losing control of the ball in the middle of the field, which is something you cannot do. But looking at them play Holy Names, they kept the ball for very long stretches of time, and I think that is what played the big difference.
Has that been the only difference? They started 0-3-1, have won 2 straight. Has possession of the ball really been that key for the women? If they hold on to the ball longer than their opponent, do they really have that much more of a chance to win?
Well, I think yes, but that isn't necessarily the only key. I think they were simply just better than UCSC and Holy Names. In the UCSC game, I think they outshot them something like 10-2 in that game. And both of UCSC's shots were very early in the first half. So UCSC didn't have a shot for like 60 minutes, which is really encouraging. And now 180 minutes of straight shutout. I think the defense really has been really more key than holding onto the ball.
8 goals scored. 6 different scorers this year so far. You noted Michelle Lee, Lily Dubuck, and that seems to be the recipe, is sharing the ball, holding on to the ball, Ethan, like you said, and then you mentioned the defense.
And I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to Alexis Luna. She scored her first goal for the Lady Penguins in this last game. She had the opener against Holy Names. I was on the call there. I thought it was Michelle Lee. My condolences. But I'm very happy that she got her first goal.
Happens to the best of us, that's for sure. It'd be a lie if I told you that. It's never happened to me, so that's for sure. Men, 3-2-1. Soccer to start the season. Women, 2-3-1. We have a big day coming up on Saturday. First of all, are you guys ready for that? We have men's soccer at 12. Women's soccer at 2:30, and then volleyball at 7.
I'm so ready. I couldn't say enough about how ready I am.
That'll be against RU, the soccer games, and we'll talk more about volleyball when we come back. You're listening to Hot in the Igloo, live from Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM at radio.dominican.edu. Back with more DU volleyball when we come back. Chasing meals, dog. Don't ride in your beer like O'Neal, dog. Shit, I shoot like Reggie Mill, dog. Chop a sting you like a... Welcome back, everybody. Listening to Hot in the Igloo, live from Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Forrest Hunt, Ethan Estrada, Soren O'Connell. We recap men's and women's soccer, how they've done so far this year. We're going to move into volleyball, which Ethan and I have been doing. Soren, I believe you might be there this weekend for volleyball. We'll have to see. And you really called that West Region opening tournament, the West Region Volleyball Showcase. The Penguins right now, volleyball, 3-6, 2-3 at home. All but one of those games were in that tournament. They started out this season. Let's talk about that SSU game first of all. SSU came in heavily favored on paper, at least. They went 20-9 last year. The Penguins were 8-11. And so when you look at Sonoma State, I think they're bigger, they're badder, and the Penguins pulled out the win 3-2.
Sonoma State was actually a ranked opponent the year before. They were ranked in D2 Western regions. They come into Dominican on Dominican's home opener, and Dominican pulls out the win, which was completely... I honestly wasn't expecting it. I thought, I'm like, that's okay. I'm going to plan for three sets. You know, Sonoma State's going to come in, get the victory, go back, do some homework, go to bed. But they made a game out of it, and they played very well. And you saw flashes of it in the showcase, but nothing as fine, refined as it was when they played Sonoma State in their home opener.
And what we really saw is, you talked about the flashes, they would play great volleyball for half a set, and then it would just kind of go away. And there were flashes of what Kate Even can do, flashes of what Brittany Lateague can do, and those seniors, Kat Thomason. And then also we talked about it with last year's volleyball team. Last year there were seven freshmen on the squad. Six of them have returned. There's six freshmen this year. Five sophomores this year. Three seniors. That's it. No juniors. It's a really young team. And we talked to Yami Nolan about it. And what she said that is different from this team than from any team that she's had is the youth, obviously, with the six freshmen and the five sophomores, and how quickly they've gelled together. And we've really seen that.
The freshmen have definitely made an impact. You look at players like Sam Brown and Braylon Wakefield, who from the service line are lethal. Sam Brown has had a couple of long strings of where she's had eight, seven, six, seven, eight, even nine serves in a row, which is fantastic, especially from a freshman. And then you have some key sophomores like Josie Walser and right there in the middle to set everybody up. And Hannah Wiles, who me and Caitlin are volleyball color, we dubbed her the stabilizer because she stabilizes everything. When she's there, she makes sure that she calms everything down. We call her the great stabilizer.
So heading into that West Region Volleyball Showcase, which was hosted here at Dominican University of California, on the brand new floor, I might add, it looks phenomenal. I know they did a lot of work on the floor over summer. I remember Spencer Shamo, our assistant athletic director, saying, look, this is what the new floor is going to look like. And it's just, it's something that you really have to come to Dominican and see. And they went 1-3 in the showcase. It was an exciting match against Alaska Fairbanks, in which the Penguins won 3-1. But they played a big, tough Cal State LA team, and they lost. That was a really close one, lost 3-2. And then just didn't really go the Penguins' way for the rest of the tournament, the other two games.
The final two games, Monterey Bay, you had a sense that Monterey was definitely the better team the entire time, and the score at the end of it showed it. Monterey took it 3-0. But in that final game against Concordia, Oregon, it was completely different. They were tied 18 different times in 4 sets, which shows how even the teams were. It's just that when Dominican got in what we like to call that red zone, when you hit 20 points, you need 25 to win, they just couldn't come out with the victory. And that's what hurt them, is that they couldn't close. They couldn't finish. And that's what hurt them in that showcase.
They've been gone for a while, it seems like. It seems like we haven't called a volleyball game in forever. I don't know. It might just be me, because you were calling that showcase. I had other stuff to take care of. But does this feel like they've been gone a while for you?
It feels like it's been a while, because I've called like 5 soccer games in between.
Yeah, I know. I was checking out the previous podcast from the men's soccer games, and of course the volleyball ones are right next to it, and I noticed that it'd been 3 weeks since there'd been a volleyball game.
Yeah, it's
tough for you guys.
All the sports are wonderful to call. There, you know, something about the volleyball, fast pace. You know, the fast pace, it really keeps you on your toes, you know. Not that the other sports don't keep you on your toes, but, you know, every point is just a swinging momentum back and forth. Think about it. How many soccer games have you called where it's 1-0, right? 1-0, that one goal. And then you flip it around, and volleyball is just the polar opposite. You know, you got to score 25 times to win one set, and then you have to win 3 sets. It's just absolutely crazy. Well, Hawaii, I've heard, is not a bad place to play volleyball.
Oh, I don't think it's a bad place, period, for anything.
Well
except volcanoes.
That, I knew somebody, I knew we were going to, okay, I liked you had the hurricane reference earlier, and I was going to let that one off the hook.
Don't mean to scare you guys.
No.
A couple mosquitoes, too.
Yeah, a couple?
Yeah, a lot of that humidity, my.
1-2 on the Hawaii road trip. swept by Hilo, swept by Chaminade, and then really dominated the last game against Hawaii Pacific, a 3-1 win, and then came back again here, went to Fresno Pacific, swept there, and then they play at Holy Names tonight at 7 o'clock. So if you want to, you can watch that one on the Stretch Network, watch the stats. We won't have that game for you. It is away. But they do come back home on Saturday, and I'm really looking forward because we saw the first five or so games, but they've played a few games on the road since we've seen them last. And I'm really looking forward to especially the freshmen, how the freshmen have developed on that road trip, right? You have the big tournament. You play four games in 2 days, or four matches, I should say, in 2 days. That's tough. That's a lot. That's a lot of volleyball to play, especially when you think about some of them went four sets, five sets. It's just it's mentally exhausting. And then you go to Hawaii. And not only are you in Hawaii, right? With, you know, all the luau and the music and the... It's Hawaii, but then you have to play volleyball? Are you kidding me? I don't know. Could you go to Hawaii and play volleyball?
I don't think I could, honestly. I think I'd stay in the beach, I'd fall asleep, and be too sunburned to do it.
Is that your lack of volleyball experience, being that you wouldn't be playing volleyball, or just distraction?
You know, I think it would be a little bit of both.
Yeah, I think you're a good volleyball player.
I have no comment on that one.
No comment on that.
My arms are too skinny and frail to play volleyball.
You're too skinny.
My arms will crack on the first dig that I try to do.
Speaking of digs, I'm really looking forward to, you mentioned Hanna Wiles earlier, I'm looking forward to seeing how she's developed over the road trip. We won't see Latigue on Saturday. Latigue has a sprained ankle, unfortunately. Had class with her today. She was on crutches, so that is not something that if you're a Penguin fan that you would want to see, or really anybody get hurt, not just Latigue, but she is a senior, and you really feel for the seniors, especially when stuff, not only when stuff doesn't go right, but really when it comes to injuries.
Definitely. I mean, don't want to steal any thunder from the volleyball team, but I think for me, Christian Lathrop on the soccer team, he's the goalie. He's been the goalie for the last two, three seasons. And he was telling me the other day that he's dealing with an upper knee injury that's kept him out and will likely keep him out for the rest of the season, which is unfortunately his senior year. Definitely look gutted telling me those facts.
And going back to Latigue, you have three seniors who are very key to the success of this volleyball team. Latigue and Thomason on that front line, they just form a wall that a lot of people can't get around, and it's very dangerous. So now you take her out of there, it makes things that much easier for the opponent.
Kate Even, the spark plug for this team, whenever she's on the floor, whenever she's off the floor. She just brings a sort of energy to her. And I remember two seasons ago when she was a sophomore, and Stuart Horn, who our faculty advisor and radio teacher, and he's also at the volleyball games with us, he was saying how she could be great. And over the last two seasons, we've seen how Kate Even has evolved from being a really good volleyball player to a great volleyball player. And she really shows that, like we said, with her energy on and off the court, with how she plays defense up front, her blocks, her ability to get above the net, and also how much she produces on offense. And you've seen that this year in your few games doing the volleyball games, how much Kate Even really means to the squad.
And I think what makes Kate Even so great is that she mixes her volleyball IQ with her athletic ability, and she melds them together to make her Kate the Great Even. That's what makes her such a fantastic player to watch, is just her knowledge and court presence. You know how in basketball you have that thing called like court vision where you could see it? I think she has the same thing, but in terms of volleyball. She can see plays unfold and develop, so she knows where to hit the ball to try to get the point, or where the attacker's going to go so she could block it. She's just that kind of smart player.
Two seniors graduated from last year's team. Okay, Amy Steinwan being one of them. And she's an all-time kill leader. So when you lose somebody, not only, okay, you're going to lose a senior, right? You lose Susanna Pilkerton as well. She was the other senior. Not only do you lose a senior in that veteran leadership and the presence, like in the clubhouse per se, but 1,275 kills in her career, all-time kill leader in the D2 era for the university. And not only do you need to fill her shoes, but now with Latigue with a bum ankle, who, in your opinion, has to be the person to step up? We already know about the senior play, so it looks like it has to be an underclassman. There are no juniors on the team.
I really don't know, because it's been so long since I've seen them. I don't know who has flourished in certain situations, so that makes it a little bit difficult to predict right now.
I agree with you, I think.
After Saturday, I think we'll have a much better understanding of who will fill in that spot, because not only will we see it unfold on the court, but we'd also be able to judge it by the play.
I agree with you. I can see how it would be difficult because we haven't seen them play. We've only been able to look at the stat sheet. And so many times you hear coaches or hear players say that the stat sheet does not really reflect how somebody performs on the court, on the field, per se. I think somebody that we're going to have to look out for now is Brittany Chan, freshman. I talked to, this is just based on my conversations with Yami Nolan, the head coach, saying that Chan has grown up in a volleyball culture where everything mechanically, she's sound, she's perfect. And it's just really, we saw in that tournament, in that game against Sonoma State, a lot of the freshmen just getting their feet wet. It was kind of like getting your feet wet, seeing what you have. And we saw Chan at moments, she looked great. And there were moments where you can see the freshman jitters, which you see with all six of the freshmen on this squad. And with the loss of Steinwan, they really recruited her as an outside hitter to fill that void, and now she really has to fill a bigger void with Lateague not being able to play. So volleyball, 3-6 overall, and they play this Saturday. So this Saturday, once again, we're going to have men's soccer at 12 against Academy of Art. Women's soccer, 2:30. As well against Academy of Art. And then volleyball against Notre Dame de Namur at 7 o'clock this Saturday night. That's going to be a busy day for Penguin Radio. And the three of us, if you like our voices right here, I guess you should tune in on Saturday. What do you guys think?
I love my voice, so I'd love to have y'all listening.
My voice is adequate.
You really love your voice.
I
think you're the first person that I've ever heard go, I love how my voice sounds. Because, you know, this is my third year doing this, and I still don't like it.
Well, I mean, I don't know exactly what it is. Maybe my voice is actually just worse than your guys, but maybe I'm just being overly cocky, but I've always been pretty comfortable with it.
It's really confident more than cocky, I think. That's
hopefully.
It is, if you like it, then that means at least somebody likes it, right?
Yep, that makes one of us.
You know, my mom always said, you know, I like how your voice sounds. Like, well, somebody's got to, right?
Yep. I read a book, Call of the Game by Marty Glickman. For those of you who don't know, Marty Glickman was an old-time radio broadcaster for the Knicks and Jets. He was left out of one of the very early Olympic games because he was Jewish and the games were held in Nazi Germany. But he always said that the only person who tunes in to a broadcast to listen to the broadcaster is their mother.
I think that's a fair quote. I think it's a fairly accurate quote as well. I think anybody else doesn't really care who the broadcast, as long as they know what's going on in the game, right? That's our job.
Yeah.
I don't know. So we're going to go into men's golf. So once again, volleyball on the season to start. 3-6 overall, 2-3 at home. They'll be back Saturday, 12, men's soccer against Art U, 2:30, women's soccer against Art U, and then 7 o'clock, volleyball against Notre Dame de Namur. That's volleyball. And then men's golf. They open the season, the Sonoma State Intercollegiate Golf Invitational, finished 6th. Sophomore Matt Fry led Dominican to the 6th place finish on Tuesday at Sonoma State. They played at the Foxtail Golf Club, which, in fact, in case, I know none of you care, but I'm playing there on Sunday. I don't know. Ethan shaking his head like, no, why would you tell us that? Nobody cares that you're playing there on Sunday. So if you want to play where the Penguins play, or where they played, that is, you can play at Foxtail, or they play here down at Peacock Gap, San Rafael. You can play all over the place. Do you guys play golf?
No, I've played once.
I've only played miniature golf. Miniature golf is great, though.
It is, and you can put in miniature golf courses in your backyard. I don't know if you knew that. Head coach Gary Nelson said, our players played great. Once our returning players figured out a few things, we were able to reach our true potential. I was very impressed with Matt. He's He had a fantastic tournament. That's Matt Fry, the sophomore. And he played under control and within himself all three rounds. Sonoma State did win the tournament at their home course. They shot one under as a team. So one under, they shot 863. So par would be 864 for the squad. Holy Names was close behind. They shot three over. I mean, you're thinking three over, man. The Penguins shot 30 over par and they finished sixth. So 30 over par. Let me just put it this into perspective for you. In a three-day tournament, 30 over par, three-day tournament, I'd probably be 85 over par. That's by just by myself. So you're thinking you got a couple of guys on the squad, right? And then 30 over par, you know, you tip your hat to that. At least I do. I know. Golf is the hardest thing in the world, just in my opinion. It's the hardest sport I've ever tried to play. That's for sure.
That's why I've never tried.
I see.
I've tried once, and I was terrible. I ran over a squirrel with a golf ball.
Love it.
Okay, so junior Paul Gunnis-Vendetti finished with his best round on Tuesday. He was four over. He shot a 76. And I just mentioned Paul Gunnis-Vendetti because he's going to be joining us on the show
our
next
very
week.
Own.
Yeah, he's our very own Penguin Radio DJ host. He's going to be doing some sports with us this year. And the Penguins will head north for the 2018 St. Martin's University Men's Golf Invitational Friday, Saturday. That's in the state of Washington. And so men's golf finished sixth and at Sonoma State. And they're up in Washington. They actually left at, today's Thursday, 6 a.m. They left at 6 a.m. to go play a couple of rounds in Washington. What a life.
I don't even know what to say to that. Sounds great.
I actually want to move to Washington one day.
Do you? It rains a lot.
Oh, I love the rain.
Huskies or Cougars?
Huskies.
Okay.
My sister went to University of Washington.
I know we're going to talk about it later, but I'm a huge Stanford football fan, so the Huskies is kind of like,
Maybe we'll leave that segment out.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a Bears and a Cardinal. Are you Bears?
I am. I'm
You're
from Berkeley.
I cannot wait for this.
He's a practical Cal fan. That don't count.
Yeah, I won't go out and say that I'm a super deep fan of the team, but I'm a casual game attender, yes.
A casual Cal football attender.
Yes. I haven't been to a game yet this year, but I did go to opening day last year. I went to the big game 2 years ago.
We should rename this the big show.
Oh, now Ethan will destroy me in college football knowledge. I don't even want to get this started.
Well, it's coming up. Are you ready for it?
I'm out of here.
Soren's going to be doing a lot of research on his phone here this commercial break before we move into college football, huh?
Sure.
All right, well, you're listening to Hot in the Igloo live at 5 p.m. on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. That does it for DU Sports. We'll move into the NFL, talk a little bit about Major League Baseball playoffs coming up, and college football. Cannot wait for that when we come back right here at radio.dominican.edu. Hot in the Igloo. Hot in the Igloo right here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Well, we were like, oh, we're going to talk about the NFL, and we're going to talk about Major League Baseball. We're going to talk about college football. We have 3 minutes, you guys. So very quickly, we're not going to talk about all those. We're going to save them for next week. I guess that's a good thing, right?
More the merrier.
I guess so. So we're going to talk some quick NFL. And Ethan, you have a confession to make.
Sunday when we were cleaning up the
Set the scene. We were at the soccer game, right?
We were at the soccer game.
Of you were arguing about who the worst quarterback in the NFL is.
My pick is Tyrod Taylor.
Okay.
Oh.
I think
Blake Bortles.
Yeah, okay.
I was very passionate in my answer of Blake Bortles, and you two can contest. I was extremely passionate about my answer of Blake Bortles being the worst quarterback, and I have to walk it back a couple steps. He had a tremendous game against the New England Patriots.
Yeah, and beat the New England Patriots.
He beat the greatest quarterback of all time.
Mm.
Thank you for saying that. I'm a big Patriots fan, and I'm really sick of hearing this whole Joe Montana talk, especially around here.
Oh, save it, bud.
Hey, I am in no way complimenting the Patriots' legacy in any way because I'm a Colts fan, and if it wasn't for the stinking Patriots, we would have at least two more Super Bowls.
Take us off the air, Forrest.
I got
some scores to settle.
29 for 45, 376 yards, 4 touchdowns, an interception, QBR 111 for Blake Bortles against the New England, a Belichick defense.
Yeah,
I know that's not good for you to hear, being a Patriots Red Sox fan.
Yes.
But, you know,
even the worst players have a good day.
Well, what was the phrase you told me earlier?
Oh, yeah. Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
I love that. Isn't that fantastic?
That's great.
I think, Ethan, you can take us out on the note of even a broken clock is right twice a day. How about that?
Yeah, a broken clock is right twice a day.
So you had the quote of the day. So you take us out of here. We'll next show, next week, right?
Next Thursday from 5 to 6. So you're listening to Hot in the Igloo, Ethan Estrada, Forrest Hunt, and Soren O'Connell signing off. Till next time here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Adios.